Sri Shikshashtakam ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Sri Gaurapurnima ki jai. Hare Krishna, everyone. Hare Krishna. Good morning. Nice to see you all so bright and early in the morning. Nice to see you at home. With my telepathic vision, I can see you all. So today we have the 7th and 8th verse of the Shikshastika, 8 verses of instructions by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, how have you been doing on 1 to 6? Has it been good? A good journey? Everybody feels they know the Shikshastika a bit more? That's good. So today I've been asked to do 7 and 8, although our newly initiated Nishkinchan Chaitanya. He said, if you don't feel able to do two, you can do one. So I do feel capable of doing two. So let's start with number 7, and then we shall go. Translation okay? Sudama? Translation okay? Just checking. So we've had... let me begin. Om Agyana Tamalandasya Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshura Minitang Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We've had 6 verses of the Shikshastakam. Prabhupada calls these 8 prayers by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu supremely valuable prayers. Supremely valuable prayers. There's only 8 of them. There's very few things that we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said, okay, that were recorded. And here's something that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually wrote, Shiksha Astaka. And when I say that we don't know that some, I'm just saying in a sort of academic way, we have reported speech. But when you have written something in writing that's accepted as being written by that person, then you absolutely know that this is how the person was feeling and thinking and philosophizing. So for a scholar of today or a cynic of today, we absolutely know that the Shikshastakam was written by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these 8 verses. And that's very important because every leader of a sampradaya, every great acharya, or in this case, every avatar who wants to completely change the way that religion is done in the world has to make a singular contribution by stating why my contribution is different from what has happened before. So in the Shikshastakam we have the reasons why we have a distinct sampradaya, what's different about it, what the elements are that make up the practices of devotion, and from the first verse through to the 8th verse, we have a progression. We have a progression where you start in this Gaudiya Vaishnavism, this bhakti, given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and where you finish up at the end. These eight verses describe those stages. And they're worthy of being investigated more and more. And if there's anything that devotees like to chant, apart from, say, Brahma Samhita, we use Brahma Samhita for ceremonial occasions because Prabhupada says that it's all Vaishnava philosophy is there. He said, all the Vaishnava philosophy is there in Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, those prayers, 30-odd prayers, because the spiritual authority is meant to also provide not only a Siddhanta. Siddhanta mainly means how you take the 3 components mentioned in the Vedanta Sutra, and you put them in a relationship to each other. So Vedanta Sutra is 555 verses split into 192 sections. And each of them is you get a logical argument. So the logical argument is, I say this, but you may say this, but I say this. That's an argument. Not much of an argument. It's just, well, okay then. I say this, you say this. I say this again. And by the way, the great authorities, they say this. So if you can do that in just five statements, that interchange, that's called a syllogism. One philosophical point supported by two others. So every great acharya has to provide a siddhanta based on this argumentation in the Vedanta Sutra. You have to give a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra or the Brahma Sutras. So then you know where you're going. So it's only three things. The world of matter, the individual soul, and the supreme. There's only three things that are real. And all the different elements can be reduced into these three. So when you can make when you can say something that is singularly different, then you've made a contribution. Oh yeah, that was very interesting. And then you have a distinctive sampradaya, otherwise you don't. I was just in Jayapur, and there's no morning program like an ISKCON morning program. You don't get that, you know, as like Gurudas this morning. Gurudas is leaving today, by the way. He's going to Leicester. Let's give him a round of applause for being wonderful. Wonderful kirtan. His name is Gurudas, and through that kirtan, we know that he's a servant of his guru. Explosive. Explosive. You don't get those explosive morning programs in other... because in other groups, it's all about peace. It's all about being peaceful. So the end goal is actually peace, with the hopes of seeing God in the tranquility and peace. Now, why should that be? It's because the mind is such a wretched thing that it's always disturbing your contemplation on God. So most of your sadhana will be taken up by finding peace. Therefore, people come to the Hare Krishna temple and they say, I think it was a little bit too loud. I think they chant, but they get into it a bit too much. I thought it was a bit emotional. Okay. So these two last two verses are explaining why there is this explosion of apparent emotion. There's two things. There's emotion, which comes from the mind, and there's things that look like emotion, which actually come from the soul. You just got to make sure that in your kirtan and in your bhajan and in your preaching, it actually comes from not the mind, but the inner self. So in Jaipur, the morning program is like ours. It's quite explosive. People, they're really, really enthusiastic. But it wasn't always the same. Now the pujaris are all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Previously, they were Ramanandis. And Ramanandis, it was a splinter group from the Ramanuja Sampradaya. And they removed Radharani from the altar. And so Rupa Goswami's deities were Radha Govinda. But they took away the Radha, leaving the Govinda. So Baladev Vijayabhushana stepped up and said, well, what's the point of that? The whole point is that you're worshipping Radha and Govinda. These are the original deities. And you should continue the worship as it has begun. And the pujaris, who are Ramanandis, they said, well, actually, we look through Shastra and we don't find that Radha Krishna worship is anywhere in Shastra. You can have Lakshmi Narayan. You can have Rukmini. You can have Satyabhama. I said, but we don't find Radha Govinda. Where's Radha Govinda? This is not meant to be an exposition of your name, by the way. There's no Radha Govinda. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was consulted, and he said, well, I'm too old to come to fight this, you know. But these are the things. And this is only, 300 years ago that our sampradaya was basically fighting for existence. So we, in that particular part, you know. So this was very important. As if you remove Radharani from the altar, you also remove the very essence of our sampradaya. So Baladeva Vijayabhushana had a fight on his hands. He said, well, we're followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We follow the Shikshastakam and the teachings to Rupa and Sanatan. And this is what we follow. I said, but that doesn't make it a sampradaya. He said, yes, it does. He said, no, you don't have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. He said, well, Srimad Bhagavatam is a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. It is the commentary by the same author. He said, well, how do you know that? He said, because the first line of Vedanta Sutra is Janmadyasya Yataha. You know? God or Brahman is that from which everything emanates. And the first line in the Srimad Bhagavatam as the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra is Janmadyasya Yataha. He said, so therefore, Badarayana, Srila Vyasadeva, the same author, he's authored both the books. Don't you think that he should be given the privilege of, we're not sure that Vyasadeva wrote the Brahma Sutras. We're not quite sure. He doesn't sign his name at the end. Okay? Didn't quite sign it. Okay? It's like when we sing Lokanath Lokera Jivan, the song is actually a prayer by Narottam Das Thakur to his guru, Lokanath. So you either, every author, and this is only half the song. So we sing the Guru Vandana, but we only sing half of it. And the other half of it, you'll get the... So in this half, you get the name of the guru, and the other side, you get the name of the author. So that's why 500 years after it was... Well, 300 years after it was written, you know who wrote the song. Okay? Because he put the name into the song. But so they weren't too sure. So they said, well, if you write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, you come back. So how was he going to write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra? It takes a lifetime. A lifetime of scholarship to write a commentary. But he did. Because he was empowered by Govinda himself. And this is, of course, Govinda is the original deity of Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami found him. There was a cow that was dripping milk onto the ground. He was looking for where there was, there was a temple. Someone told him that there was a temple in the area somewhere. But, sometimes temples just completely collapse and the deities are the last, just to be absorbed by Mother Earth. Or sometimes there's an attack. And they wrap the deity in cloth and, put him in a well, a dry well, and cover over the well so no one knows he'll be there. So in this way, there's thousands of deities that have been buried all over India. And so the cow was dripping milk, and he said, let's dig here. They found Govinda, who was carved by Vajranabha, the grandson of Lord Krishna, after having Lord Krishna's form dictated to him. Well, his legs were like this, his waist was just like this, his face was just, they held his hands just like this. So we get that form. So this is the original, one of the original deities, installed in a beautiful temple in 1599. And it was the king of Jayapur who built that temple. He sent the workers, he sent the red sandstone. It took 5 years to build in Vrindavan. 7 stories high, beautiful temple. You know the story. Aurangzeb came, or his men came, and cut the temple in half. And for 40, 50 years, the deity was worshipped in different places. Finally, Jai Singh II had created this beautiful city of Jaipur, city of 9 gates, traditional Vedic city. When we say, it's coded language, isn't it? When you say that to a devotee, the city of 9 gates, what's the immediate thing they think of? They just think of the body. Because we work on symbolism and metaphor and analogy. Okay, but the city of 9 gates is a traditional Vedic city, so it's got 9 gates. Right in the middle, there's a garden by the king's palace. He said, all right, it's not a temple. I can't promise you anything else, but it's a nice, peaceful place. You can install Govindaji there. Now, the story goes that the king was so attached to the deity and the family was so attached to the deity that... what happened? Well, the king was due to visit London for the coronation of Edward VII in 1902. And the local accounts say that he brought Radha Govinda with him. Now, whether that means the Mula Vigraha or the Utsav Vigraha, I don't know, but I didn't see an Utsav Vigraha, so someone who knows the story will be able to tell me. But he brought Radha Govinda on ship all the way to London. So sometimes we think Radha Landanishwara was the first Radha Krishna deities to come to London. I'm sorry. It's Radha Govinda. Thereby heralding Rupa Goswami's advent in London in the form of Srila Prabhupada. Nice story, yeah? Nice story. And the king even brought Ganges water. Huge, great silver flagons of Ganges water with him. Anyway, later on Prabhupada visited that temple and the queen gave him a set of Radha Govinda deities. Black Krishna, white Radharani, This was in 1972, 4, something like that. So Prabhupada was very well respected there. And the queen, Queen Gayatri, was actually Bengali. So, of course, they got on well. And she gave Prabhupada a set of deities that are now worshipped in Brooklyn, New York. Anyway, that's how Radha Govinda came to be in New York. And gathering by recent accounts will remain in the same spot. So when you make a siddhanta, it's not a small thing. It comes as a result of comes as a result of much thought. But he did it in a short time. There was a debate in nearby Galta, a place called Galta, and the Ramanandis placed Srimati Radharani back on the altar. So this is, in some ways, you know, in the business of spreading Krishna consciousness, we spend our lives telling people, you're not the body, you're the soul within. Isn't it? Basically speaking. Anytime we turn up at a place, ladies, gentlemen, we turn up at a place and say, can you explain the philosophy of Krishna consciousness? And we start with, yeah, well, basically, and we begin at the beginning. We never get as far as Yugaya Tum Nime Shena, do we? We're never really asked for our actual siddhanta. You know, we may go to, well, there's, you know, there's the world of matter, there's the soul, and there's God, and this is the relationship between them. And then the person will say, yeah, well, let me just stop you there. You mentioned the word God, and they get all jittery, because, of course, this is Western Europe, and we've done away with God. So usually our preaching is not really the preaching of our siddhanta. It's not really the preaching of our sampradaya. It's really, really elementary points. And yet that is what is required. So through the Shikshastika, we also find that. So just a brief recap. First is a real piece of poetry. We find a metaphor on each line. All glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtan, first of all. Let's begin at the beginning. Let's begin with the names of Krishna, and then we end with the names of Krishna. It's Krishna, Krishna, Krishna all the way through. But we find it cleanses the dust from the heart. This is elementary preaching, isn't it, what we tell people? It puts out the forest fire of material life. So already we've got the dust on the mirror of the mind, Chaita Darpana. Okay? So it does that. And therefore, this also ties it into Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. It also ties it in to many other philosophers who give this example of the mirror of the mind and how the dust of the mind is to be cleaned. So Pradam Vrijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan, that does all that the yoga does. It wipes away the conditioning which causes the chitta vritti, which Patanjali says is the very goal of his yoga. And then in that situation, then Krishna or God can come through. We find it's Kaidava Chandrika, it's the lotus that blooms at night. We find it's the benediction moon. We find it's the, this is an interesting one, Vidya Vadu Jivanam. It's always translated as the life of transcendental knowledge, but in some translations we find it's the wife of transcendental knowledge. Well, what is it, the wife or the life? But the answer is both. Vadu means a young bride who is going to be the constant companion of this person when she enters. This is the Vadu. And then Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge, is always the constant companion of the devotee who practices Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So let's get this straight in the very beginning of the Shikshastika. If you practice this Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, you will be supremely knowledgeable because your constant companion will be Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge. You see? It's not. Don't think that if you take up the Sankirtan mission, the devotion is in exchange for your, you know, your knowledge, your understanding. No. You'll gain knowledge, but you'll also gain these transcendental emotions. And it's an ocean of nectar. Not just a little bit of nectar, but an ocean of nectar. So we hear that in our siddhanta there's going to be enjoyment, knowledge, freedom from fear, freedom from repetition of birth and death, and it's going to cleanse the mind. So here in that first verse of the Shikshastakam, this is everything that this is going to do for you. All right, so what is it? This is very interesting, but what is Param Vijayati Sri Krishna Sankirtan? Well, it's the holy name, and it's Krishna's holy name, your holy name alone. No one else's holy name, no other deity. It's Krishna, who has millions of names, okay, in which all the energies have been invented, nama, namino. All the energies of the Lord are in the name. So here's the philosophy. Okay, so then there's no hard and fast rules. But then comes the lament, which is in the early part of devotional service, but I have no attraction. Okay, so what do you have to do? If there's no hard and fast rules, and then comes, well, actually there are some hard and fast rules. These rules you must follow. There's no real, for chanting mantras, there's lots of fast and hard rules. Okay, we've gone through them before. You have to face east, you have to take a bath, you have to begin with Om, you have to worship particular devata, etc. like that. These are the hard and fast rules. For the Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan, there's no such rules. You just take the name of Krishna. But there are rules. You have to be humble. You have to consider yourself to be the straw in the street. You have to be really tolerant. You have to think of yourself as, you know, no prestige, devoid of all prestige, which means you have to see yourself as the servant of everybody else. And this is the point. And that is the hardest and fastest rule. So it's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a deception, divine deception there. There's no rules. Everything is easy. Everything is cheap. Just take the name of Krishna. Oh, but there is one rule. You have to be, for life, you have to be the servant of every other person in the world. Always feel yourself humble and be devoid of all prestige. Never let anything that comes to you by your karma allow you to expand your pride. Okay? But here's the problem. I've got no attraction for doing that. Now, why would Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who we know had supreme attraction, who's Krishna and Radha, or Krishna in the mood of Radha, why would he say that I've got no attraction? Why would he say that? It's to be together with us, isn't it? At the beginning of the Shikshastaka, I'm with you. Don't worry. Because Krishna's greatest conclusive instruction in his Charama Shloka is surrender to me and don't worry. Ma Suchaha. Don't worry. It's all going to be okay. All right? I'm just telling you this now. If you surrender to me, it's going to be okay. So, in the beginning here, surrender to Krishna, surrender everything you have, and don't worry. Ma Sucha. I'm a devotee too. I've come in the form of my own devotee, but I'm telling you this, I have no attraction. I have no attraction, so don't worry. Okay? We're in this together. Okay, well then we go forward. But here's another rule. Sorry, but here's another rule. Na Dhanam, Na Janam, Na Sundarim. Actually, it's not a rule. It's a response to, it's something that you will get. I have no interest in Dhanam, Janam, and Sundaram. I've got no interest in followers, the beauty of the world. What's the other one? No wealth. I'm not really interested in these things at all. So he's saying here that the type of bhakti that we're after and which Shikshastakam has come to teach is we're not interested in artha, kama, moksha, jnana. We're not interested in these. We're just interested. What are we interested in? And we go forward to number five. He said, son of Nanda Maharaj, this is all I'm interested in. I'm your eternal servant. Just pick me up and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Now notice, he says, at your lotus feet, not in your lotus feet. Okay? And this is the difference between the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and others. You see? Others want to be merged in Krishna, Hare Krishna. They want to be merged into the divine white light. They want to become free from suffering, yes, but in response, in reciprocation, they want Brahman to completely envelop them. Okay? So he says, at your lotus feet, which means he's saying there's a distinction. And there's an eternal distinction, because when you got back to God, you are a separate individual. So right here at the heart of the Shikshastakam, he's saying the essence of our philosophy, that you're eternally separate from Krishna, but eternally together with Krishna as a liberated individual. So then, we have an interesting thing between verse 6 and verse 7. So in verse 6, he says, when will I, okay, it hasn't happened yet, when will I have tears in my eyes? When will I be choked up? When will my voice choke so that I can't speak? When will the hairs on my body be standing up? So he does two things with this. He says that these symptoms of ecstasy are not something to be, they're not fake. They come as a result, you know, towards the end. Now we're getting this. But when is that going to happen? When is that going to happen? It hasn't happened yet. When is it going to happen? And in verse 7, then he says, now I feel your separation. Just the last verse you said, when is it going to happen? Now you're saying, now I feel your separation like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing and I'm feeling all vacant. Okay. Then in the last verse, we have the last verse. Ashlishava pada ratang panashtu mam adarshanan marma hatang karotu va yatatata va vridatu lampato matpranana tastu sa eva naparaha. So he says, I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly in his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So this is the Shikshastakam is not a statement of the consciousness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at a particular point when he wrote it. It's a demonstration of the consciousnesses of the individual as he or she progresses from one stage through to the conclusion. Because in the sixth verse we have, when is it all going to happen? In the seventh verse we have, now it's happened and this is the result. And eight, the conclusive statement, which is particular to our sampradaya. There's no one but Krishna as my Lord. And you might find that, well, that's not very controversial. But in India, you'll discover that having no one but Krishna as your Lord is quite controversial. That's quite unique. And especially Krishna in this form. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said that there is no form of the Lord superior to Shamsunda. There is no age of the Lord superior to his fresh youth. There is no place that is superior to Mathura Puri. And what's the last one? There is no... Huh? There is no love of the Lord comparable to the gopis, yes. So in that statement to Raghupati Upadhyay, which came just before his speaking to Rupa Goswami and unfolding everything, he's declaring these things. So this is the object of meditation for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he's restating it here at the end. There's no one but Krishna as my Lord. And here's the unique thing, that in this type of bhakti, we're not expecting anything from Krishna. There's no sense of a reward. You know, other people still, even in the Madhva school, they talk about, you know, moksha. They talk about moksha. In other words, you do bhakti and then moksha will come. But Rupa Goswami in the very beginning, he sets out his table. It's the table of the Gaudiya Vaishnava teachings as taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On this table, what we've got on offer is we don't expect anything from Krishna. There's no byproducts like Saraswati Devi may bless you with knowledge, but it's a companion. You never become that person. You never surrender to that type of jnana. No jnana, no karma. Jnana, karma, anavritam. So, at the risk of boring you, I wanted to continue with text 7 by saying that sometimes people criticize us And Prakashananda Saraswati also criticized. You know, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was asked, well, not asked, but he wanted to set out the unique contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he spends the entire seventh chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita basically saying, try and understand, they're not ordinary human beings, these Panchatattva. They're not, you know, and let me go through that carefully with you. This Panchatattva is the absolute truth in five features. Okay? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not just an ordinary human being, even though he took sannyas. Took sannyas, which is part of the, you know, ordinary way of doing things. He took sannyas only as a strategy to give Krishna consciousness to others. And let me tell you something else. This is what happened when he visited Prakashananda Saraswati. And Prakashananda Saraswati gave the main challenge that the Shankarites would give throughout the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and incidentally throughout the life of this Sampradaya. For 500 years, the Shankarites have said the same thing. Oh, and even today, if you speak to some people from a yoga school, if you go to a yoga school, they will say, oh, bhakti, that's the way of the heart. That's the dovetailing your emotions in Krishna consciousness. Now, an emotion is a mundane thing. It's created by the modes of material nature. Okay? Let's get that straight. An emotion is not spiritual. It's mental. Okay? But it is identified as being an emotion from the soul, because the soul identifies with the mind that's experiencing emotions. Now, you can take those emotions and you can offer them to Krishna. That's true. But that's not the emotions described in the Shikshastakam. That's not the emotions demonstrated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Prakashananda Saraswati said, well, you're a sannyasi, but I don't know why you're wasting your time singing and dancing with ordinary people. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to explain. So that one dialogue is one of the most important dialogues in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because that's preaching. And that's, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a little bit of help from his personal effulgence, and that really impressed them. But the point here is that these occasions where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was defending his unique contribution, his sampradaya, they are key conversations in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I was writing something recently and I counted five or six or seven like that, you know. And these are key conversations. Why? Because they give us an understanding of how we are meant to engage with different people in our preaching. So people try to relegate bhakti as being inferior to the path of jnana. Because, of course, jnana means it's all about the intelligence, and the intelligence is higher than the emotions, you see. Because a person loses their intelligence by being dominated by the emotions. So emotions is something to repress, something to suppress. Okay? But if you like, you can take those emotions and you can offer them to Krishna. But that's not bhakti. Bhakti is where you take your emotions and the work of your hands, the work of your feet, your voice, your mind, your money, your intelligence, everything, and you offer that to Krishna. Okay? So never let anybody convince you that bhakti is emotional yoga, because that's really to put a label on it which makes it inferior to anything else. Therefore, bhakti is something that ultimately you will give up in favor of something higher, you see? So don't let anyone put you in that position. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about torrents of tears, he's not talking about the torrents of tears that you may experience sometime. Occasionally, we do, don't we? There's a kirtan. And occasionally, we feel a lump in our throat, and something comes. And a little tiny tear comes, and we wipe it away in case the devotees see. There's just something in my eye. Okay? It may be there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not talking about that. He's talking about an uncontrollable flood. An uncontrollable flood of tears. He's talking about not occasionally goosebumps, but goosebumps for 8 hours at a time. Okay? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a burning intensity, a burning intensity that you actually do feel. A nimesh. What's a nimesh? Nimesh means a blink. It's a blink. Huh? Eye open and close. That's a nimesh, yes. Therefore, the demigods are called animesh. Their eyes never open and close. If you meet a demigod on the street, Prabhupada says, sometimes they come and they will watch you distributing books and wish that they could have your life. He said, you will see them and they will see you, but sometimes they will be dressed differently. You may not recognize them. You heard this statement? And Prabhupada says, sometimes Narada Muni is coming there. If you see someone, he's looking at you and he's smiling. This is Narada Muni who has come to see the Sankirtan mission. He's very happy to see you. Okay? But don't try and sell him a book. He already has everyone. He wrote them. So, animesh means the demigods whose eyes don't blink. So just one blink. Everybody blink. Okay? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, even that blink where I cannot see anything. For me, this is like 12 years. Like a yuga. A very long time. I can't see Krishna for this time. Okay? This is the gopis. They're saying Lord Brahma made a mistake. Lord Brahma made a mistake because the eyelids have to close. And for the duration of one eyelid blink, I can't see Krishna. So this means there's some problem. Brahma, you have a problem. You should never have done this. Our eyes should remain open all the time. So nimeshena yugayatam. So these emotions come as the ripened fruit of the tree of bhakti. And we look forward. Our mood should always be number 6, not number 7 of the Shikshastakam. And then we'll make rapid progress. Sahaja, he's focusing on number 7. He's already reached that point. This is Sahaja. What did Gaurakishore Das Babaji say? He said, so a woman is in the maternity home, and she's going, ah, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Okay? He said, but she's not pregnant. So this is a sahaja. And they like to meditate on verse number 7. And every time they cry, okay, some people are, we say, easy to cry, easy to dry. So some people can cry very easily. Actors and actresses, they can cry very easily, you see. There was a, you know the story. It was even in a movie. There's a movie by a famous Bengali film producer. Oh, Satyajit Roy. Satyajit Roy. And he makes a film of... there's a famous incident where Bhaktivinoda Thakur was sick and he couldn't go to a play that was being staged in Calcutta. So Ramakrishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was invited because he knew all the important, writers in Calcutta. So he couldn't go. So Ramakrishna went as the chief guest. And that incident of Ramakrishna seeing actors on stage playing the Panchatattva, including a very beautiful actress that was used for the part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was a revolutionary thing. So then later on he went and he complimented that actress. He said, you brought the tears to my eyes. So Bhaktisiddhanta, I believe, commented. He said, this is all within the mental realm. Now, one time a devotee came to me and he had been experiencing what we might call a dry patch in his spiritual life. Anybody experience a dry patch? Okay. So he was, he said, just look at this. And he brought me a video of a group. And this group was in Madhya Pradesh. It was a group of Bengalis who had come to Madhya Pradesh. And instantly the kirtan was starting. They were rolling on the ground and tears were coming to their eyes. And they were looking at each other and like this. And it was all, ecstasy in slow motion. They were embracing each other. And this devotee, as he showed me the video, he was also crying. You know how when someone yawns, You're yawning because yawns are catching. So crying is also catching. You see someone crying and you're going, oh, don't get me started. I can. So that he was watching this and the kirtan was going, and they were crying and they were real tears, of course. And he looked at me at one point and with tears in his eyes, he said, Kripa Moya, isn't this real kirtan? And I looked at him and I said, no, the blinking sahajas. And he said, what do you mean the sahajas? I said, well, the sahajas. And as the video went on, at the end of the kirtan, they all had their fish fingers and they smoked their cigarettes. And he said, Kripa Moya, it's just like, I didn't know. I said, well, you obviously not being reading Prabhupada's books, that there are these groups who they find it, whether they are very good actors or they're very theatrical or they're highly emotional people, they find it easy to do kirtan. And why do people love them? People love them because when they come to your village, they can make you feel something. You cry when you're watching them and you think, this is so wonderful. Krishna is giving me so much right now. No, Krishna isn't giving. It's just a mental experience. So we are not talking about these things. Now, we can hanker for these feelings, but we can't blame Krishna when they don't come. We can't imitate these symptoms, and you can't deliberately try to experience them or force them to come. And we cannot think that because we... This is just me. We cannot think that because we cried once, that means I'm very close to Krishna. Now, you should cry sometimes. I remember coming here in the olden days, August the 24th, 1974, I came to this building, and there was about 20 people in the building. And of course, they played the Govindam prayers, as we've been playing for the past 44 years. And what happened? I saw four fully grown men with tears in their eyes as they'd come back off, you know, Sankirtan for the week, and they were singing and chanting. And I thought, wow, this is something real. So in the beginning, it also helped me, but we cannot think that because I cried once or because I experienced this once, therefore I'm very close to Krishna. We should always have the mood that I am separated. Otherwise, we get into something called antinomianism, which means you don't think that you need all the other lower rules and regulations because you're already experiencing the past. So, very briefly, the eighth, and actually, where is he? He's not here now. Yes, he is. You were right. One is, you can keep going for 4 hours just on one. But I have to say this. That Krishna says, in this form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, I know no one but Krishna as my Lord. And the word here is marmahatam, even if he makes me brokenhearted. Now you look up the marmahatam. We translate it as brokenhearted. But it's more like there was a famous, an important boxing match this week. The world heavyweight champion, what's his name? He's English. David? David Hayes, okay. And he was punched out of the ring, punched through the ropes by the challenger. Just punched through the ropes. Okay? Just punched through the ropes. And he said he had a problem with his foot. Well, that's okay. He was... There'll be another chance to prove that it was your foot. But he was punched... And that's actually the translation of hatam, knocked out. And marma... Of course, as you know from other people, marma is a, in kung fu, they have this lines of chi within the body. And if you tap a person at a pressure point, you can cause them extreme pain or immobility. This is marma. So, for instance, if you, in the occipital region here, if you can push the corner of the chin so that the jawbone goes into that region, then a person can be knocked out. And that's why you knock a person out by, you know, a right hook. It's the hook that's important because you have to push that part of the jawbone back. So marma is also, if you just touch a person in their solar plexus, isn't it, Sada? He knows all these things. You just touch a person and you can immobilize them. They can't actually move. So I'm knocked out. I can't move. Maramahatam. You've done that to me. But still, what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Even if you do that to me, my Lord, even if you do that, I don't mind. Because you can do anything you like with me. Now, it's very easy to set up a business relationship with Krishna. Especially as you get older, you know, the so-called Prabhupada disciples, so-called senior devotees, well, we're Prabhupada disciples, but so-called senior devotees, you know, there's some sort of business, you know. I've spent my life in Krishna consciousness. Krishna, you should be revealing yourself to me now. Come on. Come on. Don't you think it's about time? I mean, look, Kitna Bhaje, you know, there's not much time left. You know, not much time left. I'm going to die in a few years' time. Don't you think that before I die, you should have given me Yugayatam Nimeshena? You should have given me all these things. Where is it? Okay. So that is a business. So there are two things. There's justice and mercy. Justice is that God gives you the results of your bhakti, all your efforts. Because it's considerable effort. I mean, you know, I don't want to brag, but I have been offering my food to Krishna for 43 years. I've been ringing a bell and offering all my food to Krishna for 43 years. Now, not once did he personally come to eat it so that I can see him. Okay? Wouldn't it be nice just once? Okay? Rupa Goswami tells me that when I have Krishna's name in my mouth, then Krishna is dancing on my tongue. And just once, wouldn't it would be nice that Krishna would have shown himself to me like this? I read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita all these great devotees, and they all seem to have some revelation. I mean, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had a 6-day, 7-day conversation with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and at the end of that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed him his beautiful form, original form. Now, I've been distributing books for a long time. Don't you think I should see the form of Krishna on the street sometime? You know, right about now? But we cannot do that. That's justice. But what we get from Krishna is mercy. And mercy means that Krishna, at any time, can reach out his hand and he can elevate you to the highest level of Krishna consciousness. Or not. He's completely free to do that or not do it. And you can't reason that, Krishna, you should be doing it now because I really need it now. So sometimes you'll see another devotee and they are embraced by Krishna, isn't it? And you'll see that devotee with all those symptoms and you'll be standing there thinking, wow, what got into him? Oh, what's... You know, what has he done that I haven't done? What has she done that I haven't done? I'm initiated now. When does the goosebumps start? When is the tears in the eyes? I got initiated, right? I got initiated. Kadambakarna Swami initiated me the other day. I'm expecting some goosebumps around about, well, Tuesday afternoon would be good. It doesn't work like that, my dear friends. Krishna may, but he may not. And he may keep you waiting. And it's not that, you know, he said everything, your separation from Krishna feels like 12 years or more. Well, I've had 43 years. I still feel that separation from Krishna. Because in the last verse, we find that this separation from Krishna is the way that you come closest to him. And then this is wonderfully explained. And this is his whole revelation, of course, of Krishna's visit to Kurukshetra, that the gopis were feeling this separation. But they didn't blame Krishna. Now, Krishna was away for how long? 90 years? He left Vrindavan and he had a whole life and he came back on a chariot. And the gopis were looking. They said, you've been away for 90 years. 90 years, Krishna. You didn't come and see us even once. Krishna said, I feel bad about that. They said, no, 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 no. Don't feel bad. It's not your, it's just, we love to see you, but it's not your fault. This is the mood. The mood is whether you do that or whether you don't. So this is the perfect expression of love for Krishna. I will love you whether you love me or whether you don't. But it can't be imitated. In the beginning of our spiritual life, we absolutely need to have this crushing desire to come into Krishna's presence at every moment. Otherwise, these later feelings will not be there. So the tendency is, and I'll finish in just a couple of minutes, the tendency is that we want to go somewhere else. And so many people have gone somewhere else. It's like the flip side of joining ISKCON. The flip side of joining ISKCON is leaving ISKCON. And if you cut a slice through ISKCON's track record or see it on a graph, you'll see that thousands have joined us because of Krishna and thousands have left us because of Krishna. Because of Krishna apparently not fulfilling their wishes to feel that they are coming closer to Krishna. And then Krishna takes the blame for that. But Krishna can't take the blame because he's Krishna. Therefore, it must be someone else's fault. It's obviously Sutapa's fault. Because I don't feel happy in the ashram. Okay? So I've got to leave him because he's just too heavy. Sorry. It's obviously Bhaktivedanta Manna's fault because it's just all about money and weddings. It's not about Krishna. Bhaktivedanta Manna is all about Krishna. But if you don't feel Krishna, it may be due to Krishna. You may have to work a bit harder. Well, I have to leave ISKCON and I have to find another guru because obviously my guru is not helping me come closer to Krishna. Well, unfortunately, the guru of all gurus, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says, I feel so separate from Krishna. I feel so far away. Okay? So there's this thing. Coming closer to Krishna means feeling further away from Krishna. So if you go to your guru and you say, you know, I feel so far away from Krishna, Gurudev. And he says, yeah, so do I. And then you'll think, well, that's not much good. How is he going to help me forward in Krishna consciousness? Now, Ramachandra Puri made the same mistake. His guru was leaving this world. Madhavendra Puri? Ishwar Puri? Madhavendra. His guru was leaving this world, and it's his appearance day today, right? Disappearance day. He was leaving this world, and with tears in his eyes, he was calling out, O Lord of Mathura, Lord of Mathura, when will you turn your face towards me? When will I again see you? When can I come into your company? And Ramachandra Puri represents the disciple that just didn't get it. And he was saying, you know, these emotions are not good for you. You know, you should try to transcend. It's, you know, at the moment of death, you have to be in transcendental consciousness, my guru. You can't be, you know, weeping and crying out for Krishna. So Ramachandra Puri, of course, then he goes on to lose every transcendental qualification that he has. He just loses everything because he doesn't get it. So that we know that we get it, Rupa Goswami, he likes this verse. Virachaya mai dandam dinabandhu dayamva. It's about the chataka bird, or chataka bird. It's a little bird that only drinks rainwater. So his face is always, he's singing, but he's always got his face towards the clouds. He doesn't drink from a river or a stream or a lake. He's waiting for the mercy of the rain to come. Now, when the rain comes, sometimes the chataka birds, they're the only birds that are in the tops of trees catching the rain, and sometimes the lightning comes and kills the little birds, even when they're just getting the mercy. So Rupa Goswami says, yes, devotion to Krishna is like that. He said, even the lightning comes, even when you think that you've got Krishna, bam, the lightning comes. Still the chataka bird doesn't go anywhere else. That's it, that's his life. So he says, this is the life of a devotee. I won't go anywhere else, it's just you, Krishna, and I will wait patiently. If it comes, then I drink. If it doesn't come, then I go thirsty. But still, I'm not changing who I am, because I'm your devotee. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says, finally, he says, with this separation. He says, don't be afraid. Outwardly, you may feel a horrible pain of separation, but internally, you will feel an unparalleled type of rasa, the most pleasing feeling. Internally, there is the greatest satisfaction. Bahye vishadvala haya bitare anandamaya Krishna premara adbhuta charita. So this is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that, he says, where you doing your bhajan kuti? He says, well, maybe I will have it in Jagannath Puri, because Jagannath Puri is all about meeting Krishna after a long separation. He said, but the other place I'll go if I don't have my bhajan kuti here is Kurukshetra. He says, Vrindavan I won't go. That's all about meeting Krishna. But I'll go to Kurukshetra and I'll spend the last days of my life there. And he was serious. Why? Because Kurukshetra is all about being separate from Krishna and reunion with Krishna, but not blaming Krishna for his being absent for so long. This is the spirit of Rathyatra, bringing Krishna back. This is the spirit of the bhajan of the Vaishnavas, and it's the spirit of the Shikshastika in its final verse. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for listening. Srila Prabhupada, the giver of the Shikshastika to all of us, and the giver of this process of Krishna consciousness to all of us. Hare Krishna. Ki Jai. The message is today, never give up. And if you have books, give them out. Carrying on giving out Krishna consciousness, but never give up. Hare Krishna.